Hi, welcome to the Center Court Podcast for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Drew Bonifant. Drew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am swell. I understand the roads were a little slick for you coming up today.
A little bit. It was worse down south than it was up north, but I'm here, so
excellent.
Ready to go.
All right, our guest this week is Messalonskee girls basketball coach Keith Roseby. Coach, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Travis. How are you doing?
Good. Let's talk, first of all, Coach, you guys were the preseason favorite in the KVAC Class A, obviously, and 10-0 start. Things going according to plan so far? So far for you?
Yeah, I mean, we can't complain. I was pretty fortunate. I inherited a pretty healthy program coming in between our youth coaches and people that have helped with fall and spring ball. They've really made the transition easy for the girls. And they do all the hard work. I just kind of show up and write names in books and, yeah.
What's it like having a player like Sophie Holmes in your team? A lot of people had you as a preseason favorite because of her presence on the team, and she's been just as good as advertised. Describe her impact there.
She's a pretty special player. She's unique. She does a lot of things that you just can't coach. She has great instincts, but just like any other player, she knows there's things she can do differently, and when something doesn't go right, she asks, and she kind of takes that constructive criticism. When she scored her 1,000th point, she was really big on never talking about it. We didn't address it. It's, you know, last year she broke 900 during our playoff run and had no idea till I brought it up. So it's, she really wanted to make sure that it wasn't about her. And you know, she just wants to win and make sure that the teammates around her are included. So she's the first one there to pick someone up off the floor and pat him on the back. And you know, doesn't really look for the spotlight. I think every time I see a quote, I'm just impressed with the fact that she just wants to talk about her team and the opposition. And
sure.
Yeah, she's pretty humble, so it's good.
Not just Sophie, but this is a pretty veteran group you've had who've been together for a while. Can you talk about how you've kind of seen this building, you know, to this year kind of being your chance to make a run?
Yep, we lost 5 seniors last year, 2 starters, but kind of knew that they were helping us build towards this year.
Sure.
So we returned 3 starters with McKenna, Allie, Turner, and Sophie. So we're lucky in that aspect. And then we have a couple other young ladies with Michaela Wilson and Lydia Dexter who have played key minutes for us all along through. So being able to fill them into those spots was pretty seamless. But, you know, having you know, the backcourt of Sophie and Allie and then having McKenna anchor that middle for us really kind of made it easy to let everyone just kind of get up to speed and run along with them.
Yeah. We've seen the depth in that league in Class A starting to prevail now, where each team, with the exception of yours, has 2 losses. You know, Nokomis and Gardner and Skowhegan are beating each other, but your team is still undefeated through that. Do you have to? And you're hearing coaches left and right saying, "Well, Messalonskee's the favorite. Messalonskee's the team everybody's chasing." Mm-hmm. Does that, when it comes back to you, is that something where you almost have to fight that feeling of that feeling with your team? That, you know, to fight that feeling that, like, hey, we're confidence or arrogance, whatever you want to call it, from setting in.
Yep. Obviously, you want your kids and we want our girls to have that confidence going in, but it doesn't really reach that point right now. We don't use the word favorite. We don't use the word, you know, we'd like to be a contender. We understand there's a lot of hurdles to go through. Every night when we talk about the next team up, it's really just the next team. So for us, it's Hamden and only Hamden. We got a big stretch coming up, but our game prep is for Hamden. And really focus on the other team's skills and what they do well instead of just kind of looking at what they do poorly or what we do well. We just, our game prep is really only what are their successes. And if we can take away some of those successes, that kind of closes the gap for us a little bit. So by looking at that, it allows the girls to kind of walk away from every game saying, you know, they do this really well, they do this really well, even if it's, even if it doesn't look that way on paper. The girls are really kind of, and I think that's my assistant coach Pam and I have really tried to push that. That just, you need to look at every game like it's the only game you got to play. Mm-hmm.
Let's look at this upcoming schedule, because 4 of your next 5 games are against the teams 2, 3, 4, and 5 right behind you in the regional heel point standings. You got, like I said, Hamden this week. Yeah. Then you got Skowhegan, Nokomis, Gardner coming up as well. Beyond that, a game against, you know, a double A team, Bangor, which is coming off a win over an undefeated Oxford Hills team.
Yeah, that was good to see.
And then down the road, another a match against rival Waterville. So yeah. Looks like the tough part of the schedule is ahead for your Eagles.
Yes, and that kind of going into that playoff push at the end, that's okay. You know, we want to be challenged. you know, four of the next five are right on the road. So we'll really get, you know, we'll see where we stand, and we'll kind of start to get an idea of where we're going to filter out as the season kind of winds down. We're going to get tested, that's for sure. It's, you know, every one of those teams has something that creates a little bit of a matchup problem for us. Sure. And so trying to counter that will be, luckily I had, you know, Monday we didn't play. So at one point or another, we had every girl was in the gym with me and my assistant coach watching some games. So
I saw you scouting the Winfield Skowhegan game.
We did, yeah. We did that, and then we went and watched Lawrence Hamden earlier in the day. So, and then now some of my girls have caught on to the online broadcasting. So when the other day during lunch, I had two of the kids in my office kind of watching the Nokomis streaming games, and someone was watching one of the Coney streaming games. Sure. So I think they're getting into that just, you know, there's a lot to do. There's a lot more than just what we do in our practice and our games that's involved in this. So that's good.
Is there anything that you can learn about your team with this stretch coming up? Or, I mean, where you can look at it and say, okay, this team will show us how well we can handle X. Mm-hmm. You know, Gardner does this, that'll show how well we can handle Y. Is there anything that this can prove to you or teach you about your team, or is it just you know what they do and it's just a question of executing them those days?
I think if anything, it's a test of mental toughness, knowing that, you know, really you can any win you can kind of celebrate until you go to bed that night, and then the next morning, if you're not ready to move on, someone's going to catch you napping. But, you know, every team, you know, Gardner matches us kind of in position and kind of in size and in the same way, so that'll be a nice test. Hamden's got some size. Skowhegan's just got that aggressiveness that, you know, they get on the floor after everything. So that's kind of a conversation we've already had is any time a ball gets tipped, if you're not ready for it, they're gonna tie it right up. So you got a little bit of something with everyone that's going to give us a look at what we need to do better, because, you know, I think we can be better. I think the girls can learn and make progress more than we have. So,
how much do you get to look at what's going on in the South region of Class A with, you know, a good Greeley team, Brunswick, Marshwood?
Yep.
Do you get to kind of scout them as well, or right now you're just focused on, hey, let's get through the KVAC?
Yeah, we were lucky enough. We pulled Brunswick in the preseason, so we've kind of watched them. You know, we watched some of the teams that used to be around us, the Mount Airats, the Morses.
Sure.
So we get to see them a little bit. We don't play any of them, unfortunately, like some of our counterparts do. You know, Brunswick is a team that I think has some potential. They're just long. They're athletic. They can shoot. Between, you know, Matty Soar is just one heck of a complete player. And so she really makes them go. And then, obviously, Greeley is just, you know, everyone loves Greeley. And sure. Rightfully so. I mean, DeWolf is just a phenomenal player. And so... luckily, some of the girls have been able to see some of those other teams play, so they understand that, you know, where the path has to go through.
Okay, Coach, looking at the KVAC Class A kind of as a whole, the last 4 years obviously been dominated by Lawrence Nia Irving, who's now graduated and moved on to Boston University. Looks like some of the other players like Sophie and Jordan Jabber at Waterville, Chadwick at Gardner. Looks like some of these other players are finally kind of getting their due. Talk about just the overall competitive balance in your league this year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, I mean, we're all happy for Nia, but I don't think anyone is sad to not have to prep for her anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a matchup. And then obviously with Dom going out, that, you know, helps some of these other, like I said, these other kids really step in. Jordan's a pretty unique player because she's long, she rebounds well, she passes well, she runs the floor, she shoots. You know, and she's kind of really developed on stretching her game a little bit with her outside jumper. I mean, we're partial to Sophie in our district, and so that's, yeah. I think that's understandable. But then you've got Lauren out of Gardner, who's just kind of a do-it-all type of kid. Really scrappy defensively, you know, just when you think she's kind of not where she's supposed to be. She comes right in behind, steals it, and lays it in, and now you got a game on your hands that, you know, she's really can, and between her and Mary, they can put that team on their back, and you know, they're a tough one too.
Sure. Is Mary Tillman is mm-hmm. the center at Gardner,
yep.
And is she kind of the answer to Nia as far as you know, a power forward or a center in that class, or who is the best big man, so to speak, in the division?
Yeah, I mean that's tough. I mean, I really like some of the post players. We have McKenna, so McKenna's
sure.
really just big and strong, and you know she can run and shoot the ball. Nokomis has some great players, some great post players, some good size there. Lawrence really has, you know, they have some size inside, you know, they have Brooklyn inside, and then drawing a blank. But you know, they have a couple kids inside there.
Right.
Waterville's got some long players. You know, they've got Jordan, who's long. So they've got kids that can play inside. I think there's no prototypical post player right now in this area. But
yeah, it's tough to compare anyone to, you know, Nia's a once-in-a-generation talent, right. I think.
I mean, the 6'3", 6'4" kid, Bailey Donovan out of Hamden, is probably the biggest body we'll see.
Yeah. An issue that's kind of come up across the state this season, and I wrote about it in Monday's Kennebec Journal Morning Sentinel, is the shortage of officials. And it's not a problem where we're seeing it only in the rural parts of the state. It's something statewide, and a lot of officials have had to work, you know, the junior varsity and then the varsity game. How has that affected you guys? Or you've seen it a few times this season, right, Coach?
Yeah, we've had it three. We just had it last week in our game against Lawrence, and we've had it three games, and it's got to be tough to be an official. And a lot of the officials that have retired, we have some of the retired officials coming back and doing JV games to kind of to mentor some of the new wave of officials. Sure. But it's a thankless job, and so when they get out, it's not a huge influx of bodies coming in. So, you know, but like I said, we've had it three times. I know a lot of schools have had it in our area. Yeah. You know, not as much, I don't think, in the other areas, Bangor and the Portland area, but.
It's kind of easy to understand why people wouldn't want to do it. It's a very difficult job. It's a long process to get to the point where you're very good at it. And, you know, just, I mean, you probably hear it. We certainly hear it in the stands. The fans, the boorish behavior, you know, just harassing officials. You know, the question is out there. Why would anyone ever want to do that?
Well, it's, and then, you know, you add in, you know, JV and two JV coaches and two varsity coaches that, No matter what call you make, you blow your whistle, 50% of the audience is not happy with you. It like I said, it's a thankless job, and even doing rec league, you realize there's so much you miss. You can't see 100% of the game, and to maintain focus for 8 quarters, that's a lot of basketball to watch.
Yeah.
And you know, there's this perception that they don't make mistakes and that they catch everything and that they just blow calls.
Yeah, that's simply not true.
Yeah. You know, we're lucky. I watch a lot of our games back over, and so do my kids. And a lot of times when we realize we think a call's been blown, you go back and it was just based on the perspective. It really wasn't. It's just, you know, have a different view of it and what you want the outcome to be. But you're right. It's just constant. You know, it's just, you know, and I know the athletes kind of get on some of the officials, and it's, you know, for what they have to do, that's, yeah, I don't know. I don't envy them at all.
No,
so.
Neither do I.
I don't think a lot of the reaction for coaches when they're angry with calls is a lot of it's just getting swept up in the moment, not just a reaction to how the call is made. You know, a ball goes off, two hands at one time.
Yep.
Of course, the coach who gets the short end of the stick on the call is going to say, "How could you make that call?" When you look at it on the video, and it's like, well, they could have easily called either way.
Right. No, that 100%. And you know, my kids get mad at me because. Even if a call doesn't go our way, I think this is the school counselor in me that I'll tell them if they make a good call. And my girls think, and it's just trying to be legitimate with them in that, you know, they do make good calls. And just because I don't always agree with them. And you're right. You know, any call that happens, you're going to try to jockey for something.
Does it ever happen that you might see a call and you might even think, have the presence of mind in the moment to think, okay, I don't agree with it, but that's a tough call to make. Or, okay, and you might. Shrug it off and stifle your reaction, or is it really hard to have that sort of presence of mind in the moment?
It is and it isn't. This is my 18th year coaching at the high school level, and I try to temper that a little bit. You learn. There are games where I think you get caught up in the moment. If it's a heated game, if it's back and forth, and you want to, you know, but. I've never really known an official to come in and be like, you know, you're right, let's reverse the call, and let's start over. So I just try to be subtle about it. If I see something that I think I want them to look for, I'll ask them. Or I try to ask for clarification just so I can communicate with my players what they're seeing. Because sometimes if I don't see the call, I don't understand it, but I can't relay that back to the kids. And so I'm trying in my semi-old age to just be a little more open about what we can gain out of it.
Well, it's an issue that's probably not going to go away anytime soon unless all of a sudden there's an influx of officials. And even if there is an influx, it's going to take them a few years to get to the point where they're competent enough and skilled enough to do varsity games.
Oh, absolutely. It's just the training process is pretty intensive. You know, we have some of our young ladies that have taken the officials course, and some of the, like, there was one game where doing a JV game was a young adult that was in the course with some of my girls. So it's going to take a while. You know, sometimes they get accelerated a little more quickly, and you just have to be patient with it. It's just, you know, it's the reality right now. And, you know, everyone wants, and the hard part is everyone wants to do a good job. So I think for a lot of officials, when they feel like they're not doing a good job or they feel like people don't think they're doing a good job, that's got to be a lot to take home. So,
oh, yeah. Let's look ahead, Drew. Is there a game or two on the schedule in the coming week that you're interested in seeing?
Yeah, there's there are two that are on my mind right now. One of them is actually tonight. It's Richmond playing Old Orchard Beach. It's going to be Richmond is this is Richmond boys is yes. Undefeated in Class C, but they've been playing a lot of Class D teams on their schedule. So this will be a test against a Class C team. It's one that's in the middle of the pack. I think Old Orchard Beach is either 6-4 or 5-5 right now. And so that'll be a good test to see kind of where they stand. And the other one is Friday night. It's Gardner and Miranda Cook. It's Class B versus Class A. Gardner's banged up. They're going to be getting Connor McGuire back soon, but he's still out. And Miranda Cook has had a really up and down season. A lot of close losses. Lost their first five games of the season. Won the next four. Lost the next two. So we'll see where these teams stand and kind of get a little updated idea of where they are in relation to competing for playoff spots. You?
Yeah. One for me is next Tuesday in the KVACA boys, Skowhegan at Messalonskee. Messalonskee boys are 7-3, but they're still looking for that kind of signature win, get some heel points up. I think as of right now, they're still, I think, 8th or 9th in the heel point standings, despite being 7-3, because they don't have that win that's kind of vaulting them. Skowhegan, 5-5, I think, right now. Has a couple of those wins, but they've just been, they're looking for some consistency. And they look like a team that, you know, looks like maybe they're about to go on a kind of a nice little win streak, but then they have a tough loss and take a step back. So it'll be interesting to see where those teams are and, you know, next week as the second half of the season really gets going.
How many times have you seen Skowhegan play?
I haven't seen the Skowhegan boys yet this season.
You haven't? They're interesting. Sometimes they come out and they're draining shots, and they have this really good ball control offense. They're passing along the perimeter, and they look great. I saw them beat Gardner, and they look like they could beat anybody on that night. And then they lose pretty convincingly to Erskine not the next day, but soon after that at the Civic Center. It's just a back and forth team. So it'll be interesting to see which Indian squad shows up when you go see them.
Yeah. Any games other than your own coach that you're kind of looking forward to, looking at some of these teams that are chasing you?
On the boys' side, I really wish I wasn't playing on Friday night, because for our boys, we went up to Hamden, and they played a really tight game with Hamden.
Right.
So I think to get another chance at them, because like I said, that signature win, you know, the hard part is you can have all the wins in the world, but if they're not coming in the right place, sometimes that doesn't pan out.
The fickleness of the heel points.
Yeah. So that one's big. We're just kind of watching all the Lawrence games, because, you know, we've had every postseason we've played them in one game or another. So between them and Hamden, they've got some big games coming up. So that's kind of where our focus is. But really, for me, selfishly on the boys' side, that Hamden-Messalonskee game coming up is one I wish I could go back and watch. But
all right.
Talking about the Lawrence girls, they gave you one of the toughest tests of the season back in the opener, right?
Yep, they did.
Yeah, they still have firepower.
Have some firepower. They got some kids that can shoot. You know, they have weapons. They have pieces that can kind of get it done. They just, I think, people have attributed them to being the Nia Dom era, and they're just a different team now. You know, and I think we're different. I think actually, if you really look at the season, it's been really unpredictable. There are nights where, you know, Brewer just gave Gardner a run. But then you have, you know, Gardner losing to teams that they shouldn't be losing to. We played, Brewer played us really tough. Oceanside played us really tough. And then, you know, we go out and we can beat a team big. And then teams that are competitive one night, it's really kind of, and I think we see it on the boys' side, obviously, except for the Madonna Valley team. But, you know, Coney going up to Hamden and kind of giving Hamden that Coney that big win against Hamden. It's
right.
There's so much unpredictability right now. Except high school sports, but
yeah, great. All right, well, Coach, thank you for joining us. This will do it for this week's Center Court.
Thank you.
For Drew, I'm Travis. Enjoy whatever games you get out to, and we'll see you next week.